Hey freaks, it's Monday, September 15th, 2014. Coming up on the program today, pig play masturbation, clawing at your dick, fighting food monsters, and I lose my mind over soda pop. I am so sorry for what's about to happen on DB. All of this plus your voicemails today on the Distorted View Show.
I'm going to do you so good. I'm done.
I'm warm and sensitive.
You clam down on that goddamn kid and you bite it off!
Christian now fears his flatulence.
Tim Henson reeks of anus.
The nigga rush over that dick of hip-hop.
Alright, Tim Henson with you back to kick off a new week of programs here. At the top of the show today, I'm going to get a little nerdy, and I apologize in advance. If you're not a fan of soda or the beverage industry, you might want to fast forward a few minutes. As many of you know, I have a hobby blog called Fizzled Out. One of my passions in life, and this is one of the many reasons a lot of you think I'm retarded, is following the soda industry. I love when new products are released, but I'm really fascinated by the story of failed sodas. It sounds stupid when I say it, isn't it? But, like, you know, the biggest example probably is Crystal Pepsi, or New Coke, if you want to go back a decade further. I have a rather large collection of soda pop cans and bottles, many of them full. I've got a full Crystal Pepsi bottle, full OK Soda. I have new Coke cans. I mean, you guys, if you're longtime listeners of the show, you probably have seen pictures, or maybe you've even visited fizzledout.com. You know, some nerds collect stamps or Star Wars figures. I am all about soda pop. So when I woke up today, there was some exciting news. The internet was abuzz, and it all has to do with a discontinued soda product from the 90s. I mean, this just hits everything on my checklist to make my dick fucking hard. All right, soda, discontinued soda, ting, from the 90s, my favorite decade. All right, so this has everything. Ladies and gentlemen, and if you were alive in the 90s, no doubt you have probably tried or have at least seen Surge Soda on the shelves or in a vending machine. It was internally, when Coca-Cola was developing this Sody Pop, it was called MDK, and it stood for Mountain Dew Killer. Now, that was their internal code name for the project. They landed on the name Surge when it was, eventually released. And, you know, they went after young kids. That was kind of their demographic. And, you know, Surge did well for them, for Coca-Cola, for several years. It was never it never was the Mountain Dew killer. But as far as my research working on Fizzled Out shows, that, sales were okay for a while. It then kind of petered out in the early 2000s. And then Coca-Cola pulled the plug. Since then, a small but devoted group of people have been urging, bugging, harassing Coca-Cola to bring Surge back. A few years ago, this culminated in a Facebook page called the Surge Movement. It amassed over 130,000 members. They raised money to purchase advertising space on a billboard near Coca-Cola's headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia, saying, "Look, Coca-Cola, for Christ's sakes, we can't buy Surge, so we use that money to purchase a billboard. Bring it back." And Coca-Cola remained silent. The only thing they would say is, "We've got no plans to bring back, Surge Soda," right? All right, so then, these fans of Surge would organize phone days where they would just call Coca-Cola and request Surge. This is fascinating to me because ultimately what happened was the news that broke today was that Coca-Cola, because of everything that has happened on the internet and social media revolving around the Save Surge movement, they are bringing back Surge, and it's available right now, and they're doing some crazy shit. This is what is very exciting to me. Not that it's cool that Surge is back, and believe me, I've already ordered my fucking case of Surge. All right, so that's very exciting. But the method that they're going about this, Coke is saying, "Look, we've got this fan base, and it's substantial. 130,000 people on this goddamn stupid Facebook page. like Surge, and they've been calling about it, whatever. So we're going to make Surge available. We're going to give the people what they want. But we're still not convinced it's going to be a success. You know, it failed once. Why shouldn't it fail again? So, you know, there's a lot of costs when you're launching a soda. You may say, oh, my God, well, you know, soda's fucking cheap. It's fucking water and sugar, right? Well, you've got to, you know, packaging, marketing, distribution. All the fucking bottlers across the nation have to get on board and produce this stuff. Then you've got to make room on store shelves, which may affect your other products because companies are only given so much space on the shelf. I mean, there's a lot of costs involved with launching, like millions and millions of dollars, right? So what they're doing is they've partnered with Amazon. They're selling Surge in 12 packs of 16-ounce cans exclusively on Amazon. And if you have Amazon Prime, the shipping's free. So it's not like it's a huge shipping cost or whatever. So I think it's a brilliant idea because it eliminates a lot of the risk that Coca-Cola would take on potentially releasing a brand or re-releasing a brand that wasn't successful or failed the first time around. And then they can sort of see, they can sort of gauge, you know, what the demand is like. As a matter of fact, Coca-Cola has pretty much come out and said, look, we're not really even going to support this goddamn thing. Like, well, you know, we'll make the soda and we'll sell it through Amazon. But if, you know, if you want it to be successful, do your thing. Surge movement. So they're working with the Surge movement in social media. That's the only way word of, you know, the word is going to get out. It's going to be advertised through social media. I'm sure YouTube and shit like that as well. So I think it's a bold experiment on Coke's part. And they even hinted at, you know, this is a new way of doing things. And there's a potential there to bring back other sodas that have failed. If this works out, if there's enough demand. I mean, think about it for a second. I mean, I can draw parallels to this podcast, actually. You know, if you think about it. You know, if I had to do my show in a market, like a local market, like a radio station, like I'm only on in Columbus, Ohio, there's no way the show could ever continue because there's not enough fucking disgusting twisted freaks to support it, right? But thanks to podcasting, it's like a global fucking, you know, broadcast, and there's enough people around the goddamn world to support this stupidity for me. That is pretty much what Coke is doing. You know, they can sell it throughout the United States right from Amazon, have Amazon take care of the shipping and all that. They don't have to worry about allocating shelf space, which is kind of the downside. You're not going to be able to go to your 7-Eleven and purchase Surge or your Come and Go. But if it's successful on Amazon, I'm sure it'll spread. I immediately tweeted to Pepsi, all right, the ball's in your court. Let's bring back Crystal Pepsi. Now, my real dream is to have OK Soda be sold again. And if you think of how it was marketed the first time, and I'm not going to go into it, because I've already spent 8 minutes talking to you about soda, and a lot of you are probably like clicking fast forward, but whatever. I just have to get this out because I'm so excited. And I'm wearing my heart monitor for the first time. It's exploding. Beep, 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 all day long. Beep, 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 beep. So I would love it to see, OK Soda be sold again. And I think if the risk is minimal, I should say, Coke might be willing to do it if the Surge thing is a success. So again, you can go to Amazon.com/Surge. They've been selling out like crazy. 1 minute you'll see, you know, it's $14 for 12 of them. And then the next minute you'll see it's currently unavailable. Then they restock it. And then those are all sold out. So far, so good. And Surge has actually been trending on Twitter all day. Love to see that. Very exciting. I'm a huge fucking nerd. All right, so there you go. That's the end of me talking about Surge. Sorry, freaks. Let's get into some real Distorted View audio. First up, a family court judge has some strong words for both parents. Apparently, I don't know if they're getting a divorce, if there was a restraining order. They're in some sort of feud. The judge, though, really doesn't care about this. He's more concerned about the child that they had together. And apparently the child was put in the middle of this horrible argument. So the judge starts reaming the parents.
And you don't need to see two adults acting like idiots. Did I say the word idiots? It's not about you, it's about me. What the two of you have done to that little boy is unconscionable. about that. It is unconscionable what you've done to that little boy. He does not deserve this. No one wanted to crawl into bed and have sex and made that baby. He didn't ask to be born.
I should say, the parents are both black, and you can tell the woman, the mother, is getting a bit agitated by what the judge is saying, and her lawyer, she's mouthing something, and the lawyer's like, shh, just be quiet.
But he won't.
There's an outburst that's going to happen. You just know, you can feel it coming. Actually, let me fast forward to the good part here. So, things are kind of brewing for a little while. Like, the woman just keeps wanting to speak, and then the judge is like, you get 24 hours in jail for, you know, interrupting. And then it goes up to 48 hours because the woman just can't stop running her mouth. But then, when the judge issues joint custody for the kid, that's really where she, I guess the best way to put it is she loses her shit.
Both parents are fit and proper persons to have custody of the minor child. I'm awarded joint custody.
Just a minute. I can't do this. This is a disgrace. What you guys are doing, you
can
neglect your son for 5 months. You don't take care of him. You're a drunk. You have a mistress. You have an uncle that will be getting you pregnant. I take care of my baby consistently, and I keep living for you.
Can't understand a word. I would love to play this entire altercation, but I can't understand a word she's screeching about. Like, what's great is, like, the screaming starts about, 3.5 minutes into it, and then there's another 3-4 minutes of just constant screaming, and then, like, the husband gets involved. For some reason, the security guard kid or bailiff or whatever cannot get a hold of this woman and control her. I'm just sort of fast forwarding around here. It's just like, it's like black noise. You know, like white noise, just, you can't really tell what's going on. You can't really hear anything. It's indecipherable. Just in a very black tone. Speaking of black tone, I have a news blooper here for you. There are three anchors at the news desk. A blonde, white chick, a black man, and a white dude. The first guy you'll hear is the black guy. And they're all talking about like a snail or some sort of weird-looking creature.
Let's be honest. That's probably the thing I would do. I would leave it there for him with a tub on top of it. I'm not picking that huge thing up.
That's the black man talking. He doesn't want anything to do with that weird monster.
Leave it there for him with a tub on top of it. I'm not picking that huge thing up. Are you kidding me?
It would fit in the palm of your hand. I mean, that is...
No, it wouldn't. I'm not picking it up.
Look, I'm sure Africa is a beautiful place, but the worst creatures come out of there. I'm just saying.
What's going on in sports?
Wow. The black guy had nothing to add to that. He just turned and shunned the white dude. All right, I've got a clip here. Two more short clips, and then we will get into the show. First up here, a man masturbating on cam for us. You can sort of hear him a little bit here. This is just as he's ramping up. Seems like a pretty standard masturbation scene. You can hear the of his juicy dick, right? And then if you fast forward to about almost halfway through, he starts making even louder noises. They're like piggy noises. I don't know why he's doing this. He's also playing with the pre-cum on his dick. You can hear how juicy the dick is. And then if you fast forward even more, it gets even louder. He's actually snorting his cum here. Must have fast-forwarded through the part where he blew his load. Maybe that's just pre-cum. I mean, I don't know what the hell he's doing here. We got another 3 minutes left on this video. At the very end, though, it gets pretty furious. furious oinking and jerking off. See what I mean? Too much. All right. That's quite enough. You get the idea. Right? All right. Finally, before we get into the news today, you know, I've been talking a lot about 90s nostalgia with the return of Surge and all that. One thing that I never really got into that is very quintessentially 90s is Pokemon. Pokemon were introduced, what, in the mid-90s? And they were very, very popular. I just never got into it. And don't get me wrong, Pokemon is still very, very popular. They're still making new games, all that shit. But they had their beginnings in the mid-90s. And with it came, of course, the television show. And because it was so successful, there were a lot of poor imitators of trying to take the whole idea of fighting monsters or fighting things. Digimon comes to mind. And then there are, like, lesser-known Pokemon imitators. Like, this television program, it only ran for one season. It was a cartoon called Fighting Foodons.
Fighting Foodons is something incredible. These monsters once were edible, so everybody...
They're monsters that were once food. Alright, so this is, you know, shit, like a cheeseburger. You'd train a cheeseburger to fight. As if the premise for Pokemon wasn't ridiculous enough. Yeah, we'll have fighting rice called Fried Ricer. And there was like a spaghetti and meatballs character called Spaghettabout It. I shit you not. I think maybe this program didn't take itself quite as serious as Pokemon, I hope. The visuals are just as ridiculous as the stupid song.
Incredible, these monsters once were edible, so everybody take a look at combat creatures you can cook.
Combat creatures you can cook. I bet your parents hated this program, because kids would start playing with their food. Yeah, there's a guy with a hamburger head.
Pick the right ingredients to make the food obedient.
Depending on the spice you add, your food could be really bad.
So if you mix the food with the wrong spices, you can get a bad food on. And then if you concoct the right recipe, you'll get a powerful, good futon.
Fighting Pluto, sooner, sooner, even shoot. Fighting Pluto, it's for food with attitude.
One of the characters is literally, like, it's a pig's head, and then at the neck it's a plate. So you just see the pig's head on a plate. Like, this is disgusting.
Select your recipes.
Pizza will attack with gooey cheese.
Power up the fried rice with some peas.
What will win, Italian or Chinese?
If anything's left over, you can freeze.
There's some motherfucking race wars going on here. Pitting Italians versus Asians. I've heard quite enough of this intro. My theory, I never saw this show when it originally aired, but my theory was, even though it looked like Japanese anime, this is just like a poor American imitation of anime. Boy, was I wrong. According to Wikipedia, this actually started out as a Japanese manga series, and here is the plot, in case I got some stuff wrong here. It all started some years ago when a culinary-confused king asked a question to his chefs. What would be stronger, tofu surprise or stuffed duck? Obviously stuffed duck. Tofu's like a spongy square. Duck's got a beak. It could attack you and shit. All right, that's a dumb question to ask his chefs. The king's chefs thought the king had gone a little too heavy on the nutmeg, if you know what I mean. One mysterious chef knew what the king was talking about, though, and presented him with magical cards called meal tickets. Now, the meal tickets turns the food into monsters. Why would you ever want to turn food into a monster? All right, so the meal tickets would turn the food into a monster. The monsters were called Fighting Foodons. Since then, regular food recipes have been turned into foodons when the art of culinary combat is concocted. A lot of C's there. One day, King Gorgeous Jorge, but I think it's like King Gorgeous George, Gorge, I think that's what they're going for here. King Gorgeous Gorge and his gluttons cook up a devious plan to rule the world, and they sprinkle an extra dash of destruction. They plan to rule the world by kidnapping the best chefs. Like, only in Japan. Like, who would think of this crazy shit? All right, they're going to kidnap the best chefs and force them to make powerful evil foodons. Well, a boy named Chase. It even almost sounds like Ash. Doesn't, you know, in Pokemon, the main character's name is Ash. Whatever. A boy named Chase, a young apprentice chef with an appetite for action, thinks he has what it takes to become an elite master chef like his dad. So I guess he is enlisted to create good foodons to fight the evil foodons. There you go. The manga ran from 1998 to 1999. You know how I'm always saying, like, the 90s was the best decade? I only hurt myself when I feature this shit, because I know you're saying to yourselves, what the fuck was going on? Was everyone high during that decade? Yes, everyone was on E and weed, and we just discovered crystal meth. Everything was just great. All right, so there you go. Let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, up fucked up news right now. Eating my 3D Doritos. Yes, that was a thing, too. 3D Doritos. Doritos in a featuring a third dimension of deliciousness. And you wash that down with some Surge, watch some fighting foodons. That's what I call a Saturday morning. All right. Thank you, guy. I'm so sorry for this program today. We won't do it again for all of the Surge talk and fighting foodons. If I promise not to talk about this anymore, you have to promise to sign up for the Sideshow. Support this stupidity. SuperFreakSideshow.com gets you full access to the entire archive of programs. Plus, every week we do extended shows, exclusive programs, video casts as well. Tomorrow I have an exclusive show for you. Wednesday we'll be back with a Sideshow exclusive show. Friday we'll do another exclusive program. So there's a lot of content every week that pops up just for paying members. SuperFreakSideshow.com. It is very inexpensive. $6.99 is all it'll take. Three quick stories, and we'll get the hell out of here. First up, you may have heard about the recent controversy Urban Outfitters found themselves in after selling a bloody Kent State sweatshirt. First up, a little history lesson for you. On May 4th, 1970, the National Guard shot into a crowd of 2,000 people at a rally over there in Kent State. They ended up killing four people and wounding nine, all of whom were students. Now, in its endless quest to be seen as edgy, Urban Outfitters may have gone too far once again by selling a blood-soaked shirt with bullet holes in it. The store offered a one-of-a-kind Kent State University sweatshirt splattered with red coloring for $129. The tactless garment is a clear reference to the 1970 killing of four students protesting the Vietnam War by the Army National Guard at the Ohio School. As of early this morning, the Urban Outfitters website said the item was sold out. The store did not respond to requests for comment. Did I read that this thing has already been sold for $130? I guess because of the notoriety, but that gives me a great idea. Virginia Tech comes to mind. Ferguson, Missouri comes to mind. There are so many merchandising opportunities. As outrage spread, Urban Outfitters issued an apology for the product on Monday morning, claiming that it was purchased as part of our sun-faded vintage collection. Oh, sun-faded. It's not part of your bullet wound collection? All right. It's part of their sun-faded collection. The company added that the bright red stains and holes. There are holes in the fucking shirt. Being sold for $130. Even if this were true, like Urban Outfitters like found some vintage clothing. Like they're reselling old clothes, I guess. Like a fucking thrift store. But they found some cool vintage clothing. You would never sell one that's all ripped and has holes in it. I guess they're trying to, they're saying that the red stains weren't blood. They're simply discoloration from the original shade of the shirt, and the holes are from natural wear and fray. Now, that could be true because, you know, if it were really blood, blood doesn't stay red, especially after 30 or 40 years. It'd be more brown, I would think. In an email statement, Kent State University lashed out at the retailer's decision to sell the sweatshirt. We take great offense to a company using our pain for their publicity and profit. Although Urban Outfitters' statement said the retailer removed it immediately from our website, someone on eBay claims to have actually purchased it. Yeah, Urban Outfitters removed the item after someone bought it. Makes perfect sense. A listing for the shirt with a starting bid of $550 popped up on eBay shortly afterward. User Kent State Sweater posted a screenshot of what appears to be his or her online receipt for the purchase of the sweatshirt. I ordered it and I'm waiting myself, so as soon as it arrives, I'll ship it to you. Perfect for Halloween or whatever your deal is, the description reads. We're all monsters. All right, second story we have for you today. A naked man was found bloody and screaming after he ripped off part of his cock during a drug-fueled craze, said police. The 41-year-old man from Columbus, Ohio, wasn't me, I swear, whose name has not been reported, was found at about 1 a.m. after Washtenaw. Where the fuck is that at? Washtenaw County? Is that in Ohio? This is from Michigan. Okay. That explains it. I don't know what the hell's going on here. So the deputies responded to an alarm set off by a broken window at Ypsilanti Middle School in Michigan, according to the Detroit Free Press. Once they arrived, they said they found the man kneeling outside the school, naked and bloody from the waist down, with a portion of his genitals ripped off. Sergeant Jeff Foxworthy said, "You know you're a redneck if..." No. Sergeant Jeff Fox said he mutilated his genitals with his bare hands. He was doing a lot of yelling and screaming. Investigators say he admitted to taking magic mushrooms, black magic mushrooms, before flipping out and trying to claw off his own... Claw? He was clawing at his penis. He's trying to claw off his own penis and scrotum. You ever see a cat at those scratching posts that they have? That's what he was doing to his dick and nuts. All right, parts of his body were transferred to the hospital with him. I'm guessing those body parts included his balls and dick. In terms of vital signs, they were as low as they could go without being dead. I could only assume due to the blood loss and shock and trauma to the body. Ann Arbor.com reported an initial toxicology report didn't reveal anything, but stated that more extensive testing will be done. He already admitted to eating the magic mushrooms. He's currently in stable condition. Police will seek burglary charges against him. Final story we have for you today. This one comes from Venezuela, and I've got some sad news to report. Venezuela's chronic shortages have begun encroaching on a cultural cornerstone. The tit job. That's right. Ladies looking for breast enhancements are in for a rude awakening. Beauty-obsessed Venezuelans face a scarcity of brand name. What brand name breast plants are there? Melantec, the world leader in breast implants. National Fun Bag Inc. is their competitor, as is Amalgamated Areolas. All right, Venezuelans once had easy access to implants approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, but doctors say they're now all but impossible to find because restrictive currency controls have deprived local businesses of the cash to import the foreign goods. It may not be the gravest shortfall facing the socialist South American country, but surgeons say the issue cuts to the psyche of the image-conscious Venezuelan woman. Well, the women are complaining, said Ramon Zapata, president of the Society of Plastic Surgeons. Venezuelan women are very concerned with their self-esteem, and they can be real cunts if they don't get their way, he added. Venezuela is thought to have one of the world's highest plastic surgery rates, and the breast implant is the seminal procedure. Doctors performed 85,000 implants last year in Venezuela. Only the U.S., yes, USA number one, we're finally... number one in something, other than fucking homicides. USA, Brazil, Mexico, and Germany, all with significantly larger populations, saw more procedures. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Monday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, yesterday I did a Sideshow exclusive program, and everything got fucked up. We had some real issues. There was some corruption going on, some glitch in the program. It pretty much deleted all of the audio that wasn't provided by my microphone. So any, like, audio that I was playing, any clips and shit like that, including voicemails. So I was able to recover most of it, except the voicemails segment. So I'm going to play the voicemails from yesterday. I don't know why I'm explaining to these two guys. It doesn't matter, but, you know, whatever.
Cheesecake, gobble, gobble, cheesecake, gobble, gobble, cheesecake.
Oh, yeah. I remember this one.
Cheesecake. cheesecake, gobble, gobble, cheesecake, gobble, gobble, cheesecake. I love you.
In hindsight, I probably should have just scrapped all of these voicemails and just started with a new batch today.
You tell me that this song is awesome. Cheesecake, gobble, gobble, cheesecake, gobble, gobble, cheesecake.
Yes.
Cheesecake.
I love finding songs that just get stuck in your head. And I think it all started with fun shopping. Da 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 da. Or maybe the weekend song, W-E-E-K-E-N-D. It's weekend. All right, next up here.
Hey, faggot. Well, not all of us are fucktards and we have pickup trucks, Tim. You see, if you're a homeowner, not a homo.
First of all, this guy's a moron. I didn't say anyone with a pickup truck is an idiot. I said if you don't have any use for it on a regular basis, then you're a moron for purchasing this stupid truck that you're not going to get much use out of. Makes more sense to get a car that works for you. I'm losing my mind here. So what I'm saying here is if you get a pickup truck, then you're constantly being asked by people, your friends and stuff, if they can borrow your truck, if you can take them places. You're the guy with the truck.
You should have a truck for hauling lumber, TVs, this and that.
TVs? Really? What sort of fucking televisions are you purchasing? Like 100-inch, DLPs or something from Mitsubishi?
All right. We're not trying to get women with little pickup trucks.
People can fit televisions in their car. Yeah.
I have a little Ford Ranger. No one's fucking looking at me like I'm the shit on the road.
Of course not. Ford Rangers suck.
And I don't have to call in about fucking dimensions like your dumbass does to fit it in my little Geo Metro. All right, faggot, you're an idiot.
All right, thank you very much. Let's agree to disagree on that one. I don't think I'm an idiot.
Hey, Timmy, I'm calling because you
what?
Didn't actually get one of the other funnier news stories that came out this week that was pertaining to video games.
Oh.
A streamer, like one of those people that goes, but is on one of the...
Yeah, someone who streams. I got it.
I stream website, whether
Christ.
It be Twitch or...
Yes, yeah, okay. Someone who plays video games and broadcasts it on the internet. Netcasts it. Yes, yes.
Live streamer. Any of the other ones? One of those streamers got swatted. Punk ass, I don't know who it was, but...
Yeah, we talked about it on the show. Maybe we didn't do it as quickly as you would have liked, but I got around to it. Basically, swatting, for those of you who don't know, is you're playing online with people, right? And you're getting into a very heated match, and in retaliation for, beating the person, they will call the police and say, "Oh my God, Tim Henson! He's holding his family hostage," and they send the SWAT team over to bust into your house. It's a horrible thing, this swatting.
I saw a fucking window licker that looked like the head of Beaker from The Muppet Show.
Oh, yeah? Like, it was really, long, like, tall and narrow?
And then superimposed onto Humpty Dumpty's egg body. And tiny, freakish limbs, the thing couldn't walk on its
own. Well, on the bright side, the pregnancy was probably painless. You know what I mean? Because usually the heads just rip those fucking vaginas apart. They tear right into it. I mean, my mom always likes to tell the story of how wrecked her pussy got when I came out. Because my head was as big as my shoulders. But the mother of Beaker here didn't have that problem.
Hello there, Tim.
Oh.
This is Groundskeeper Willie calling in for the first time in about, must be 2-3 years now.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've heard from you. Glad to hear you're still listening.
Fucking hell. Yeah, I decided to listen to your show, and yeah, it still makes me laugh like an idiot.
Oh,
this
good.
This show's making me laugh. Before I went to university, all the way through my first degree, and now I've just finished my master's, and
God.
You're still making me laugh my ass off.
Wow.
I'm about to have a job with a real company, and you've been fucking me up since I've been about 40.
So you haven't grown up at all? A fart, piss, and shit humor.
15. Keep up the good work, Tim.
Still
get off my ass off. Okay, bye.
Still get you off. Well, I guess what does that say about me? I've been at this for almost 10 years now, and I just think I just think granny... granny tranny porn is like the pinnacle of humor for me. I'm so excited. I've been checking my post office box the past few days. I'm waiting for my HIV positive gay porn to come in the mail. I just know there's going to be some great audio clips. So later on in this week, hopefully I'll have that for you. Guys, thank you so much for a great show today. This is all you're doing. I had very little to do with it. I don't want to take credit for whatever happened today, actually. So sorry about that surge talk. I just had to get it out. I was just so excited. All right, why don't you guys email me? Show at distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you. 206-666-4463. That's 206-660-GOD-IT-OKAY. Spread the distortion to all your friends about the podcast. Don't forget to rate us and review us on iTunes. See you back tomorrow for the Tuesday show. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Kind of a mostly cloudy and cooler day before system number 2 takes aim at us, and we'll see scattered showers and thunderstorms from that system unfolding.